30th verse of the 19th chapter is these three words. It says, "When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, 'It is finished.' And he bowed his head and gave up the spirit." These three words are, "It is finished." The work that thou gavest me to do. When our Lord created the heavens and the earth, it took him 6 days to create the heavens and the earth. And on the seventh day, he rested. It was a great and magnificent work that he called the heavens into existence, the earth into existence, the sun, the moon, the stars, and the clouds. 6 days, and on the seventh day rested. He rested because the work was done. Nothing left to do. All that was to be done in the matter of creation, he did. He finished it. Our Lord Jesus, in these three words, says, "It is finished." Now, these three words gets all of its importance, the value of these three words gets its importance from the largeness of the work alluded to. It is finished, the work that the Father gave me to do. And the glorious individual who performed the work. The work and the agent. The work gets its value and importance from he who performs that work. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. That's God Himself. God who created all that there is, sustains it and controls it, condescended, left heaven and become a man. And this man is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he finished the work. The work that was given him to do by God the Father. And this work is the redemption of his people. He came to save his people. He came to honor and fulfill the law. He came to bear the sins of his people. He came to be punished for the sins in the place of his people. Tremendous work. A desperate mission was the Lord Jesus Christ on. The dignity and the honor of the justice of God was at stake. The redemption of his people is bound up and shut up and tied up in the work that the Lord Jesus Christ finished. Here, the Son of God is laying a foundation for a new creation. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. And this new creation is the people that God sent the Lord Jesus Christ to redeem. All of those that the Father gave him, he came to lay a foundation of a new creation on Calvary's cross. For 4,000 years, he has been giving notice of his intention to mankind. And for more than 30 years, our Lord Jesus Christ was personally upon this earth, preparing the material. And now he lays the chief cornerstone for his people that God gave him. And he exclaims here, "It is finished. The work of the redemption of the people that you gave me before the world ever was, the work that you require, is finished. That work is finished. Nothing more to do. Nothing to add to it. Nothing to take from it. It's a perfect work. Just like the work of God the Father in the creation. After 6 days, and all was finished, he sat down and rested, and he said that he was well pleased with all that he had made. Our Lord Jesus Christ, when he said, "It is finished," having said this, he bowed his head and gave up the Spirit. The terms of his death was in fulfillment of the requirements and the demands of God. God's law must be satisfied. Justice must have its way. The Savior must offer himself. The Savior must shed his blood. And the Savior must freely surrender his soul to his Father. And all this was accomplished and completed when he says, "It is finished." Now, this is a tremendous, a important saying that he uttered, considering he said it while he hung on this cross, dying in agony. What does it mean? It is finished. Let's try to talk a little bit about that here this morning. What does it mean to me? What does it mean to you when he said, "It is finished"? Number one, I'll tell you a few things that is finished. First off, the sufferings of the Lord Jesus Christ is finished. His sufferings are ended. His sufferings were, and his agonies cannot be told out in complete. He suffered from the time he came till the time he left. There was not a time in his life that he did not suffer. But when he said, "It is finished," that was the end of his sufferings. The Lord Jesus Christ will never suffer again. Who can tell out or describe the sufferings of the Son of God? He suffered rejection. He came to this world, and this world would not have him. He came unto his own, and his own would not claim him. He suffered their rejection. But he'll never suffer rejection again. There'll be no more suffering for the Lord Jesus Christ. Never again shall he be persecuted from city to city, from town to town. Suffer as an imposter. They said he's a servant of Satan. This was the whole world's attitude concerning God's Christ. They said he's an imposter. He said he was the Son of God. That's blasphemy, they said. Crucify him, crucify him. He's an imposter. He says he's somebody that is not. Never again will he be persecuted from city to city as an imposter and a servant of Satan. Never again will he have to say, "My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death." Won't say that no more. Never again shall he agonize in Gethsemane and sweat great drops of blood. Never have to do that again. Never again shall he be hounded and disowned and criticized by the scribes and the Pharisees. Never again will he be insulted by men in high places. Never again will he be crowned with thorns. Never again will he wear that purple robe. Never again will his side be pierced. It's finished. Sufferings are over. Who can tell out or even imagine the suffering in those 3 hours on the tree that our Lord suffered in the place instead of his people? All of their sins. Sins known and unknown. All their sins were laid on him. And he suffered for every sin that his people committed. Untold agony. Never again will he be crowned with thorns and lacerated. Never again will he be nailed to a tree. It's finished. The personal sorrow and suffering and being despised and rejected, you'll not have to go through that again. 33 years. Books have been written on the subject about the suffering of the Lord Jesus. Never again shall he cry out in anguish of his soul and the baptism of His blood. When He cried out, my God, why hast Thou forsaken me? Never again will God forsake the Lord Jesus Christ. Suffering is over. Now the predictions, the prophecies of His death are all fulfilled. The whole of the Old Testament, all the preaching of the prophets was concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. And all these predictions and prophecies have been fulfilled. There's no prophecy left to be fulfilled. They all have been fulfilled. Every prophecy in all of the books of the Old Testament, from Genesis to Malachi, have been fulfilled. And these prophets, their chief subject was the sufferings and the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now they told that hundreds and hundreds of years before the Lord Jesus Christ condescended from heaven and become incarnate, they foresaw these prophets in the Old Testament. They foresaw His death years and years before it come to pass. They foresaw the governor who was to come forth from Bethlehem. They knew the babe in the manger as He whose goings forth are of old, even from everlasting to everlasting. And it was necessary also that He should have somewhat to offer. So the Bible says that there was a body prepared for Him. And He said, lo, in the volume of the book, I come to do Thy will. He assumed the seed of Abraham and suffered in the flesh. And His sacrifice of Himself was of infinite value, being sanctified by the altar of deity on which His offering was offered. All the ceremonial sacrifices could not obtain the bond from the hand of the creditor. They were only the acknowledgement of the debt. But Jesus Christ, who cried out, "It is finished," but Jesus, by one offering, paid the whole and took up the bond. The bond was that handwriting that was written against us. Our Lord nailed that to the cross. And when they drove the last nail in His hand, He cried out, "It is finished. The work that the Father hath given me to do is finished." Nothing can be added to the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is satisfaction of divine justice was made, was completed. The violated law must be vindicated. That law that demands that we love God with all of our hearts and all of our strength, all of our soul. That law must be vindicated. Justice must be satisfied. The deserved penalty due the sinner must be endured. The law must be kept perfectly. And the penalty for violators of that law must be endured. If not by the sinner himself, then it must be by the undertaking of the Son of God Himself alone on that tree. He came out of the bosom of the Father on this desperate mission to satisfy justice and holiness and to satisfy and magnify and glorify all of God's attributes. And that He did. And completed His work when He bowed His head and cried, "It is finished." He bore our sins. Now when it says He bore our sins, it means the punishment of our sins. The wages of sin is death. He bore the punishment due us against our sins by the shedding of His blood. He shed His blood. He died. The shedding of blood, the end result is that you die. And He shed His blood. And He died. And all of the agonies that awaits the second death, He bore in His own body on the tree. Punishment. In His own body of flesh on the tree. He was made a curse for us that we might be made, the Bible says, the righteousness of God in Him. There was no other way by which the honor of God and the dignity of His law could be sustained apart from the doing and the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says that He died once unto sin, and He dieth no more. The work is finished. And the Bible says in the book of Acts, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to have entered in His glory? He must suffer if we are to be delivered from the wrath of Almighty God. This ought is an ought of mercy, and it's an ought of covenant agreement that was agreed upon before the world ever. He's got to discharge this obligation that He had voluntarily assumed there in the council hall of eternity. This agreement between the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. The Son agreed, obligated Himself to represent the people that God had sanctified and set apart. He obligated Himself to provide for them a righteousness that would meet the demands of God's holy law. And He also obligated Himself voluntarily, freely, to discharge all the debts that His people owe. And by paying the debt in full, receiving their punishment in His own body of flesh, He fulfilled all the requirements and obligations for His people. He must finish the work which He lovingly began. And He finished it. He said, "It is finished." You can't add to it or take from it. All that a sinner needs is the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. No work of His own can be added to it. This work of salvation has been finished. There's no other Savior than Him. It says His name shall be called Jesus, for He'll save His people from their sins. There's no other Savior than the Lord Jesus Christ. No other being in the universe to undertake this work. Or if there's any willing to undertake this work, He's not able to accomplish this work. Only the God-man, only God becoming a man, can accomplish this great work of complete salvation through His obedience unto death. Only the Son of God. Gabriel, the angel, can't do it. All the angels put together can't finish the work and accomplish salvation on behalf of the people of God. It's no other than the Lord Jesus Christ. And if a man's ever saved, it'll be by the grace of God through the finished work of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. The salvation of one human soul would be too great. The work would be too mighty for all the angels put together had not the only begotten of the Father willingly and gladly and volunteered and obligated Himself to be our substitute. While we would have lain in the cold grave of hell. If He hadn't undertook for us, if He hadn't have said, "I'll provide all that's needed, satisfy justice. I'll pay the penalty due them. I'll bear all of their sins." If He hadn't willingly, gladly, voluntarily came and laid down His life in our stead and place and room, we would have lain forever and ever and ever and ever under the unmitigated wrath of Almighty God, and we would have joined with those that are weeping and wailing and gnashing their teeth. None but the Lion of the tribe of Judah could unloose the seals and break the seals of that mysterious book. None but God Himself, manifest in the flesh, could deliver us from the second death. None but Jesus. None but Jesus. The dying cry, "It is finished," of the Son of God indicates the dignity of His nature and the power of that life that was in Him. remained in it. None but Him. Don't even think of anything else. He bowed His head. They'd given Him vinegar to either quench His thirst or to wet His tongue. And when He had taken the vinegar, He bowed His head and gave up the Spirit. Now listen to me. All men die of weakness and inability to resist death. No one volunteers to die. No one wants to die. Man wants to live until they can't live any longer. They don't volunteer. They die. Men die, women die, because they can't live any longer. That's the reason they die. We're all going to die. Right now, I don't want to die. It'd be far better for me to die, but I don't want to die. I'm not willingly going to take a gun and blow my brains out. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to resist death to the very end. But our Lord Jesus Christ, He didn't die of weakness. He still had a strong voice. He bowed His head and cried with a loud voice to show that crowd that the pain and agony and separation from His Father could not conquer Him. And He bowed His head and cried with a loud voice, "It's finished! All the Father giveth me shall come to me." The work's been done. And men die because they cannot live any longer. But that was not the case of the Son of God. He laid down His life. He said, "I lay down my life. No man taketh my life. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up." He died gladly, and He died willingly for His people. And the only salvation that we'll ever know or experience is the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ, that He died. The Bible says He died in our stead, in our place, and in our room. And that's the testimony of God concerning His Son. That's the testimony of the prophets. For thousands of years, they prophesied that He was going to come. They prophesied that He must suffer. And they prophesied He must die. And they prophesied that death would not hold Him. And our God gave His witness, such as the witness of John the Baptist. When they asked John the Baptist about it, he said, "Well, over there He is." Said, "I see Him now." Said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away, makes an end of men's sins." And we're called upon and commanded by God to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You believe on Him. You trust Him as your Lord and your Redeemer. That who He is and what He done is your salvation. Well, it says, when Jesus therefore received the vinegar, He said, "It's finished." He bowed his head, and gave up the spirit. That is, death couldn't come to Him, being God and man in one person. Death couldn't come to Him, but He went to death. Yielded Himself to death and exercised power over Himself and rose from the dead and went to heaven and is seated there right now making intercession for those for whom He died. Never suffer again. He'll never have to repeat it. What He did is last forever. What He did is eternal. What He did has no end. What He did is binding. There won't be any other. So it says He bowed His head and gave up the The Jews, therefore, because it was the preparations that the body should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day, for that Sabbath day was a high day, and besought Pilate that their legs might be broken, and they might be taken away. And so then came the soldiers, and brake the legs of the first, and the other which was crucified with Him. They broke the legs of these two thieves. But when they came to Jesus, they saw that He was dead already, and they brake not His legs. And one of the soldiers with a spear pierced His side. Forthwith came there out blood and water. And he that saw it bear record, and His record is true, and He knoweth that He saith is true, that ye might believe. For these things were done, that the Scripture, all the prophecies of the Old Testament concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, that the Scriptures might be fulfilled, and a bone of Him shall not be broken. Didn't break His legs, He's already dead. That the Scriptures might be fulfilled. And again, another Scripture saith, they shall look upon Him whom they pierced. After this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. And Pilate gave him leave, and he came therefore and took the body of Jesus. And there came also Nicodemus, which at the first came to Jesus by night, and he brought a mixture of myrrh and loaves, about 100 pound weight. Then took they the body of Jesus and wound it in linen clothes with the spices, as the manner of the Jews to bury it. Now in the place where He was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden a new sepulchre, wherein was never man yet laid. There laid they Jesus, therefore, because of the Jews' preparation day, for the sepulchre was nigh at hand. He finished the work. No work left for you to do. The work's already been done. The work was done 2,000 years ago by this man that they called Jesus. And He'll save any man that desires to be saved. He'll save him from his sin. All right, let's stand. We'll be dismissed. Meet again this evening.